BB King for you on this Friday afternoon. The thrill of investing in China, is it gone? For sure. Certainly, that is one of the questions.
Well, there are thrills. There's going to be good thrills.
There's good thrills and there's bad thrills. Ain't that the truth? Here to talk a little bit about China and whether or not China's slowdown will throw the U.S. into reverse is David Levy. He's chairman of the Jerome Levy Forecasting Center. We find him on the T-Mobile phone line in Mount Kisco, New York. T-Mobile at work. Switch your business to the Uncarrier today. David, nice to have you back with us.
Hi, Carol. Nice to be back.
Yeah, and I've been curious about your perspective and making some sense out of what we've seen over the last month or so in terms of the news out of China or lack thereof. Of the volatility and what it all means. How worried are you about China just kind of turning all of this into potentially either a global recession or something like that?
Well, I'm not only worried about it, we've been expecting the emerging market sector overall and very likely China itself to start to run into trouble over the last year or so and have seen this as the primary threat to the rest of the world, including the United States. That is something which we certainly still feel today. The thing to remember about China is it's not that the stock market is misbehaving or that growth is somewhat volatile or questionable. It's the fundamental underlying problem, which is China was powered by an enormous investment boom, and investment is critical in the way an economy generates profits. That investment boom was so heavy, half the GDP almost being invested in recent years, that there's no way even a rapidly growing economy could keep up with all that capacity being generated. And when you build capacity, you also have financial obligations. People expect interest to be paid. People expect returns on their equity. And all of that is what's breaking down now, discouraging investment, and Chinese investment is in danger of a real sharp drop.
Interesting. And add to that sort of the contagion effect. What do you make of, there's a lot of commentary around the lack of exposure the U.S. economy and U.S. businesses have to China as the economy is, in the U.S. is so large. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kurt. A lot of people will point to the fact that U.S. Exports to China might be something like 1% of GDP, maybe not even. You have to look at all the interactions in the global economy and not be preoccupied with GDP. What's really critical is changes in profit levels around the world, because when profits go up, business expands. When they start to shrink, pulls back, GDP kind of comes along for the ride. In the case of United States, it's not just China, but the entire exposure to the global economy is greater than it's been before. Because we export more than ever before. We also have greater exposure in terms of our stock market, which has been important in boosting consumer spending to the rest of the world. And it's a time now where we also have to be concerned about the financial contagion, because a weakness in the emerging markets is going to aggravate European bank problems again, and we'll may not be back where we were in 2012, but we're going to deal with a lot of the same issues again.
So what does this mean potentially, David, then, for the Fed next week? Do you think they're not going to do anything? They're going to hold off again?
It's difficult for me, and I won't try to be a Fed watcher with a microscope who will read what exactly at this moment the Fed's inclined to do. I think they have plenty of reason not to act, and I think that if they do act, if they do raise rates 25 basis points, they will not too far in the future be reversing that again. Not because it's going to cause all the damage by itself, but the rest of the world is in the process of we'll call it the slow motion train wreck that's most evident in places like Brazil, Russia, somewhat in China. But all of that is going to become a concern for the Fed.
I guess what I'm starting to look for is the other world. Our limited exposure to China and the U.S. economy is one thing, but we do have exposure to South Korea, and we do have exposure to Japan, and their exposure to China is massive. And so if you have, you know, if Japan takes yet another hit because of their dependence, Japan, the third largest economy, on the second largest economy in China, that could sort of add to the contagion effect spreading across the Pacific here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we're looking at global economy, we have to think about a whole chains of interactions, and sometimes it gets hard to put your head around. So, in fact, something we just wrote to our clients recently, I think, is if you think of the economy, the global economy, as just one economy, so we worry about who's trading with whom, and we want to know how is that economy doing. It's been powered by an enormous investment boom, primarily in the emerging markets. What really matters is wealth creation, that is net investment. Are you adding or are you just replacing what's wearing out? In the developed markets, we haven't been doing much more than replacing what's wearing out because we've been in a slow mode for a while. In the emerging markets, they had been booming and therefore replacing a great deal more, creating a huge amount of wealth that is now, that has gone badly and it's starting to break down. So the global economy as an entity has a problem, and China happens to be a major epicenter.
Hey, David, thank you so much for your time on this Friday afternoon. Have a good weekend. David Levy, chairman of the Jerome Levy Forecasting Center, on the T-Mobile phone line in Mount Kisco. Don't forget, everybody, First Up Asia launching on Sunday night. This is the Bloomberg Advantage. Carol Masser with Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.